Opening the scriptures to the New Testament, to the book Hebrews. Hebrews, reading from the 13th chapter, reading from verse 7 through 17, the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace and not with foods which have not profited those who have accompanied them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Including a brief study on the office of elder, looking at our response to the elder, and particularly the 17th verse of the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Similarly, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. We've thought how elders are important to the life and the direction of the congregation. We reviewed the duties of the elders. The elder is to lead, to feed, and to keep the people of God. We could have summarized the qualifications of the elders in their character, their family, and their gifts. Here we conclude this study of the office of elder with a verse that outlines our response to the elders. What is the obligation that God requires of us? It's put very simply, very plainly, Hebrews 12, Hebrews 13, 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Clearly, all Christians are called to obedience and submission to authority. That kind of call demands very careful definition. We must understand that this does not mean an unqualified blanket obedience, the kind that made it possible for Jim Jones to murder 800 of his followers by ordering them to drink poison Kool-Aid. That is not the kind of submission that is here described in the scriptures. Nor does this call for obedience and submission provide the basis for authoritarian churches, like some members are virtually have to submit every decision to their elders. In one instance, the leader ordered all the members of the church to cease wearing any modern blend of clothing, of fabrics such as Dacron and cotton or wool and rayon, because Leviticus 19:19 orders Israelites not to wear clothing of two different materials. This call to obedience was never meant to entice anyone to contradict biblical morality or to violate individual conscience. It is instead a call to an obedient heart. Slavish, blind obedience is not asked for here, but rather respectful, submissive spirit is. Christians are to be discerning in their hearing of God's word. They must never accept something as true just because the preacher or the leader says it. At the same time, we are to be eager to obey and to submit to authority. Such ought to be our first impulse when the leader and the people are both right with God. Hebrews 13:17 summarizes a great part of our responsibility to our elders. It begins with two commands. The commands are obey and submit. Obey your leaders. Submit to their authority. These words are easy to understand. They tell us what our leaders are to do what our leaders tell us to do. We are to accept their instructions. We are to listen to their counsel. We are to respect their authority and to submit to it. This is easy to understand. It is not easy to do. These are not popular words for any of us. Obey! Submit! Our resistance rises when we hear these things. We become cautious and defensive. We wonder what is going to be said. It's hard to submit. It's hard to submit for three reasons. The first reason it's hard to submit is because our hearts are naturally rebellious. We don't like to submit to anyone. Christian wives have a real struggle with the command of the word of the Lord to submit to the authority of their husbands. They know it's something they should do. They know it pleases God. And yet there are times in which it is very difficult to do. We find this in our own places of work. We are called to submit to our employers, to our managers, to submit to their authority. Because we are naturally rebellious, it is hard for us to submit. The second reason that it is hard to submit is because those to whom we are to obey are sinful and imperfect. They make mistakes. Sometimes their advice is not the wisest. Sometimes their example is not the best. Wouldn't it be easier to submit to a perfect person? Wouldn't it be easier to submit to someone who is perfect? And when you see the flaws in someone, it goes against you to have to obey them, particularly when you could do a better job. It's hard to obey. A third reason that it is hard is because we live in such an individualistic society. Church life is infected with the spirit of individualism. We like to make up our own minds, to do our own thing, to please ourselves. We're reluctant to think that there is an authority in the church that has an impact on our lives and affects what we do and how we behave. We tend to resent that. Hebrews 13:17 is a command from God. It's just as important as one of the Ten Commandments. God says to us, obey your leaders. They are not perfect leaders. They are not sinless leaders, but they are your leaders, the leaders I have given you, with all their inadequacy and imperfection. Those leaders, those elders, obey them. Submit to their authority. Just as we wouldn't purposely break one of the Ten Commandments with an easy conscience, we cannot violate this commandment. Our responsibility to our elders is to obey them. We are to submit to their authority. It would be quite enough for God to command us to obey and to submit and then to say no more. God is God. We are his people. We are bound to obey him. But in this verse, God in his grace and love and wisdom gives us four reasons why we should obey and submit. He gives us 4 points to make our obedience to our elders much easier. These will help us to obey. They will encourage us to submit. These reasons will not make it a burden, but a blessing. These reasons will make us want to obey and to see that submission is in our interest. Obedience to our elders is a blessing, and it's something that will help us. God gives us 4 reasons that he may encourage us to obey and to submit to our leaders. The reasons are because of their work, because of their responsibility, because of their love, and because of your salvation. In the first phrase, we have the first reason, because of their work. The first reason to obey and to submit to the elders is in the phrase in Hebrews 13:17, for they keep watch over your souls, or because of their work. The words here mean that they are sleepless on behalf of your soul. They stay awake regarding your soul. Here, the work of the elder is identified. The great responsibility is the spiritual well-being of the people, your relationship to God, your spiritual progress, your growing in the likeness of Christ is the great concern. They may not treat this lightly. It is a matter of devotion and effort. Perhaps the picture here is of prayer. Perhaps it is why the elders are so sleepless. Your elders do pray for you. How many people are concerned for your soul? Your family, your friends may be concerned about your soul. Your elders are concerned about your soul. How many people really are motivated to help you become more like Jesus Christ? That is the task of the elder. They know the word of God spoken to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 3:17-18. God said, Son of man, I have made you a watchman over the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give heed and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked in his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Later in Ezekiel, the Lord warns in Ezekiel 33:6, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet and the people are not warned and the sword comes and takes away the persons from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. The picture here is of a watchman, perhaps a sentry on the walls of the city. While everyone else is sleeping, the sentry is watching. He is sleepless. He is alert. He is awake. He is looking for danger. He is looking for the approach of an enemy. Suppose he sees an enemy approaching. He then calls out to the people of the city and says, there is an enemy approaching. Wouldn't it be very foolish for the people of the city to say, why should we obey you? Why should we listen to you? Who are you to tell us what to do? And then they stupidly roll themselves up their blanket and go back to sleep. John Calvin wrote on this verse, this Hebrews 13:17, the heavier the burden they bear, the more honor they deserve. For the more labor anyone takes for our sake, and the more difficult and danger he incurs for us, the greater are our obligations to him. How foolish to ignore someone whose work is to watch out for your interests. All of the influence of the elder whom you are required to obey is in the interest of your soul. Listen to their warnings. They are wakeful for your soul. It is only reasonable to listen to such men and to submit to them because of their work. Because of their responsibility, the second reason to obey and to submit to an elder is because of their responsibility. They watch out for your souls as those who must give account. They are responsible. Elders are men who must give account for their service. Elders must never forget this. There is a day coming in which we will stand before the living God and give account for those under our care. We shall have to appear before God and be judged as to how we served as elders. God will say, "Did you care for my people? Did you keep watch over their soul? Did you pray for them? Did you advise them? Did you set a good example? Did you teach them? I entrusted to you my people for whom my son died. I gave my church into your hands to look after it on my behalf. I gave you my elect to care for them. I gave you my sheep. How have you looked after them?" Elders are men who must give an account. At every meeting of the session, the lowest court of the elders, we must remember that we will give an account. That's a heavy burden of responsibility. There are men who are not elders who have been spared the heavy responsibility. Some of the most excellent, godly, and exemplary men have never been called to serve as an elder. If you are not an elder, that is no discredit to your character or gifts. Some men are not suited for the eldership. They have other services to bring to the church. We all have different gifts and different responsibilities. And elders must give an account for the members of the congregation. If God has not given you that responsibility, be thankful. As James wrote, James 3, verse 1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you will receive stricter judgment." It's only reasonable to listen to men and to submit to them, to the elders, because of their responsibility, because of their love. The third reason to obey and to submit to elders is they watch out for your souls. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. In other words, the elders are emotionally involved in their work. When people prosper, the elder is glad. He is filled with joy. He is delighted when he sees people becoming more like Jesus. When people have problems, the elder groans and sighs. If people are rebellious and disobedient, the elder's heart is sore. He cannot sleep. He's grieved because he cares for the people. Elders are not cold professionals. The church is a family, and the elders care for the people. They experience joy and they experience grief. They really care for you. When you prosper, they're happy. When you're ill, when you're bereaved, when you're burdened, they groan. They share your grief. It is much easier to submit to authority of those who care for us, who really care for us. Elders want to be involved in your life. You can see their concern on their faces as they come to your home. As an elder puts his hand on your shoulder after the Sabbath service and asks, "How are you?" You know he cares. He is interested in you and your family. He loves you. It is an enormous blessing to be part of a smaller church. Elders get to know you in many ways. We tend to apologize for smaller churches. We shouldn't do that. If you went to school with a good ratio of teachers to pupils, that would be something to boast about. In smaller congregations, we have an excellent ratio of elders to people. An elder doesn't have to look after 100 families, of whom he scarcely knows any. We are small enough to experience family life with all the joys and griefs together. You're not called to submit to someone who doesn't care about you, who doesn't know you. You're called to obey someone who is like a loving father to you, or like an older brother. Whatever the faults, weaknesses of our present elders, I can assure you that every single one of them cares very deeply for the members of the congregation. It is only reasonable to listen and to submit to such men because of their love. We have reasons to submit and to obey our elders. First, their work. They keep watch over your soul. Second, their responsibility. They must give an account. Third, their love. They seek your joy and fulfillment. Lastly, the fourth reason to submit to your elders is because of your salvation. Because of your salvation. The fourth reason to submit and obey to the elders is, let them do so with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you, your salvation. If you reject their authority, if you reject their help and their counsel, whom are you hurting? You're hurting yourself. If you have a godly man who watches for your soul, who knows what he is, that he is going to have to give an account for you, for how he cares for you, how he loves you, if you don't listen to him, you're the loser. That would be of no profit to you to dismiss his help. The devil's lie is that we achieve fulfillment and happiness by going our own way. But God has provided us with men, and the only thing that they want for us is our spiritual good. That is their only motive. That is their only goal and purpose. They want to help you as a Christian. As your elders, your session, we have no other agenda. We have no plans that we want you to support. We have nothing that we want you to give us. There is nothing we want to get out of you. We do not want to manipulate you in any way. We don't want to embarrass you. We don't want to exercise any unbiblical oppressive authority over you. If we are true to our calling, our only purpose is your spiritual well-being. Nothing else. And it is only reasonable to listen to such men and to submit to them because of your salvation. God has given you such men. Listen to them. Obey them. Submit to them. Don't make their work a burden. Don't break their hearts. Don't disappoint them, frustrate them, discourage them, for that would be of no advantage to you. It would be to your advantage to welcome them into your home and to so live in obedience to the Word of God that those who are responsible for you are filled with joy. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. That is the biblical response to the elder. Our prayer. Our Father, we rejoice in the richness of even one verse that has phrases that remind us of the seriousness of the office and calling of an elder, and the seriousness of heeding and hearing and encouraging the elders among us. For you have set them to be examples of who the Lord Jesus is. And they represent the crown rights of the most majestic Savior who has drawn us from wrath and from filthiness and to light and to liberty. So we ask, as we are looking forward to the time when we will be formally organized, that even now, as we work together, as we recognize gifts among us, and as we place obligations and callings before others, that you would cause us to grow in understanding something of the office of elder, that they have a sincere responsibility and a sincere interest. And grant that those who are being trained to the office would not only take their responsibility very seriously, but with joy and gladness, knowing that by your Spirit, you give wisdom, you give understanding. And in the counsel of many advisors, their wisdom becomes apparent. Grant your blessing to this congregation, that it might grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It might grow in favor with you, Heavenly Father, and with one another. Grant to us godly men who would be elders, who would lead us before the throne of grace, who would defend us and protect us, who would feed us, who would lead us. Grant your gifts unto your church for the praise and the honor of your beloved Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let us stand to sing 127A.
Except the Lord shall build the house of builders, lose their pain. Except the Lord the city keep, the watchmen watch in vain. 'Tis vain for you to rise betimes, or from rest to keep, to eat the bread of toil, for so he gives his loved one sleep. Lo, children are the Lord's good gift, rich payment are men's sons. The sun.